Now, I do bring you greetings from our sister church in Cairo. They are just a beautiful church, and I do mean sister church in Cairo. That was one of the things I just came away with over and over from our trip there is this was not a mission trip to them. These were two churches coming together for the kingdom of God. And there are relationships between these two churches. There are people who love each other, who embrace, who are so enthusiastic to see one another again. And after 4 years of not being there because of COVID and all the wonderful stuff, it was just wonderful to kind of rekindle that relationship afresh. And I'm going to share some stories, of course, from that with you a little bit this morning, that trip. But we're continuing in our Lenten series on the moments when Jesus says, "Come and follow me." And this morning's the one that, you know, if you know no other moment in the Bible where Jesus says, "Come and follow me," you probably know this one. This is the Matthew 4 passage, and we're going to look at just verses 18 through 22. So if you want to open up your Bible, that's where we are this morning, Matthew 4, 18 to 22, and we'll put it up on the screen for you as well. So let me read this. Matthew 4, 18 says, "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we really just sang about it. Just the Holy Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders, where I can walk upon the waters wherever you may call me. Lord, that is what we're talking about this morning. How do we respond to your call in our lives? Lord Jesus, how do we fully submit to that call? Lord, I pray now, as we dig into your word, that you would speak to us through it. Lord, in this Lenten season especially, as we're drawing near to you, as we're journeying towards the cross together, Lord, help us to hear afresh those places in our lives where you're saying, right here, this is where I'm calling you. Look right here. I want you to focus on this. I don't have this part of your life yet. Help us to hear clearly this morning, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, Christ. Amen. Well, like I said, there is just this beautiful relationship. It took me by surprise, actually, when we got to Egypt, just how much they really enjoy having us. And I think surprised by how much I really enjoyed being there. One piece that really kind of encouraged my faith, encouraged my heart, is this church. This is a church in a neighborhood that, like a lot of Egypt, is surrounded by Muslim neighbors. And I was constantly encouraged by how they find ways to be fully submitted to the work of Christ right there in that neighborhood. Like they really are. They're very devoted to their place there. And that comes with all the challenges that you can imagine, right? I mean, it comes with social challenges. It comes with the challenge of hearing the Muslim call to prayer at 4:45 in the morning. It's there. It's all around you. And yet there's this beautiful, fully submitted call to Christ that they have in that neighborhood. And that's the question I really want to ask us this morning. As Jesus followers, when he says, "Come follow me," are you fully submitted to that call in your life? Fully submitted. I think our text today gives us two lessons on what that actually means. And the first one is that when Jesus calls us to be fully submitted to his call in our life, there are some things he's going to ask you to let go of. And not just the first time around. He's going to keep asking you. As a matter of fact, we're going to spend a lifetime of Jesus saying, "Now it's time to let go of this. Now it's time to let go of this." I remember when I was younger, anybody here water ski or have water skied? Water skied once, never again? Okay, yeah, a couple, okay. So we were out water skiing with a couple families, and there was a little guy, he's about 7 or 8. This was his first time ever water skiing. And if you've water skied, which a lot of you have, you know that when that thing goes, it goes kind of hard. They've got to really hit the accelerator on that boat to pull you out of that water against the force of that water. And engineers, forgive me, it's not force, I know, but so you cannot let go of that rope. I mean, you got to hold on with all your strength. And so that was the message to this little guy, is don't let go. Don't let go. Said it 20 times. Don't let go. Don't let go. When the engine starts, don't let go. When you can hear the motor starting to rev. Now remember, don't let go. And so, vroom, it takes off. And boy, he pops right out of that water. And then he goes face first right back in that water. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't let go. He went all the way down that lake just like this. Skis all over the place, skipping in the water. Everybody's now yelling, let go! He's not letting go. And you can't stop the boat because you don't want the skier to drift into the back of the boat. So he held on for much longer than I think the bets were being taken that he would have held on for. Just kidding. It's crazy. It's crazy. Some of the things we don't let go of for fear of what will happen if we do. What if I let go of this? What would happen then? At this stage of our text, Jesus he's beginning his ministry. He's come out of the wilderness. He's calling his disciples to him now. And he's in Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee, as we can gather by our text. And like I said, if you know any of the come follow me passages, this is the one that kind of sticks out in our brain, because it's come follow me and be fishers of people or fishers of men, based on, you know, how you grew up learning this passage. And that's exactly where we're at. Verse 18, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were what? They were fishermen. That's what they did. Everything about their identity in that culture. We are fishermen. They look like it, smelled like it. They're fishermen to the core of their being. That's how they get through the world, is as fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. In an instant, Jesus walks up to these two brothers and asks them an incredible question. It really is an incredible question. And on one hand, Jesus is really, he's kind of extending the rabbinical call to them, right? I want you to come follow me, learn from me, be close to me, do life with me. I want you to see what I want to teach you. And that was weird, because most of the time in that culture, the student chose the rabbi, not the other way around. You had to be a rabbi. I mean, one serious rabbi, for the rabbi to say, you come follow me, and the student to say, okay. Already, though, Jesus has, there's something about him that people are seeing. They're going, okay, I'll follow that. I'll follow that. But I think another part that stands out there is, as we're kind of alluding to, is Jesus isn't just saying, come follow me and learn from me. He's saying, come follow me and be redefined by me. I'm going to take your vocation and change it. Now, this is not a culture where you get to job hop, right? All your connections are through there. That's who you are. And Jesus says, will you follow me? Will you give up everything you know? Will you give up your security? Will you give up everything and just come learn from me? And what's their response? Is it, it's an excellent proposal, Jesus, but I have a few questions. Right? No, what? How fast do they do it? Immediately. Immediately. Have you ever noticed in life there's only so many things you can hold on to? There really are. There's only so many hats you can wear. There's only so many places of influence you can have. There's only so much time you're given. That's, you know, I say this as a newly minted 40-year-old, and yet this is a lesson I feel like every year Jesus teaches me this just in a new way. Josh, you only have so much time. You really do only have so much. You can only give it to so many things. You can only have so many places that you give yourself to. Where will you give it? There's only so much you can hold on to in life. Part of following Jesus is there are going to be those places where he says, I want you to let go of that. I know you've held on to it for 20 years. It's defined you forever, not anymore. I want you to give that to me. I want you to let go of this over here too. This has been hurting you for a long time, so just let go of it. This big, great, good thing. I want you to let go of that. Part of being fully submitted to Jesus is that there are things he's going to call you to let go of. I want to ask you this morning, are there things that he's asking you to let go of in this Lenten season? You know, James and John, right after this, they don't just let go of their nets. They walk away from their father and the family business, don't they? How hard was that in that culture? But Jesus is worth it. He's worth it. And being fully submitted to him is acknowledging that through our whole lives, he will ask you to let go of things. A second observation I think we get out of our passage this morning, and actually this comes, the text that we had last week, Rebecca preached out of John 1 last week. It was the call to Philip and Nathanael. But right before that, actually, this is not Peter and Andrew's first interaction with Jesus, is it? Chronologically speaking, this is about the third major interaction we get in the scriptures. The first one comes like this in John chapter 1, verse 40 says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. That's John the Baptist. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we found the Messiah. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you're Simon, son of John. You're to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. That's their first interaction, but it didn't stick there. They didn't follow Jesus at that point. But then in Luke 5, maybe you remember this interaction. It's this moment where they'd been out fishing all night long. They come in, haven't caught a thing. The story of my life. And they get in, and Jesus is there, and he climbs up on the boat. He begins teaching people, and then he looks at Peter, and he says, Peter, I want you to throw your net in the water. And Peter, being Peter, kind of tells him, I'm just going to be frank with you. Fish aren't biting. Trust me, we're fishermen. We know. I don't know what he says, but you know, I found out that the Arabic word for hurry up or come on or get with it is yalla. Yalla, Peter. Throw the net in the water. So he throws the net in the water. What happens? You tell me. Huge, yeah, it starts breaking the nets. There's so many fish. Peter has to confess, forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Has a power encounter right there with Jesus on the beach, but that's not the moment that they say, we want to follow you. You'd almost think they would have chosen him at that point, right? Maybe that's why he has to ask. It's this third time that they immediately drop their nets. I think one of the great gifts of the New Testament, one of the unsung gifts of the New Testament, is we get to see the transformation of Peter. From beginning all the way through his letters, Peter just changes. It's like the story of discipleship. It's really the story of Jesus, but we experience it so often through Peter. And what does that tell us about being fully submitted to Jesus? I think it says, one, that Jesus is really patient and he's really faithful, more faithful than we could ever imagine. And he does not give up on us. And maybe you just need to hear that this morning, that he does not give up on you. And he doesn't give up on those loved ones in your life that you're wondering, are they ever going to hear the message? You know what? Sometimes we can have a power encounter with Jesus and it's just not enough. But the second thing is that he calls them here and he calls them here and then he calls them again. Jesus is never satisfied with one piece of your life. And if you look at the testimony of Peter throughout the Gospels, you're going to see he keeps calling him over and over and over. And just when you think he's finally done enough, right? All the way right to the end. He keeps calling him in this new, fresh way. Now, Peter, I want you to give me that part and that part. Jesus doesn't just want certain pieces of our lives, does he? He wants all of it. He wants all of it, and he's worth it, but he wants all of it. He won't settle for just some of it. He won't settle for just Sunday morning, or he won't settle for when we're in these certain relationships or with these certain friends. He wants every ounce of our devotion. He wants full submission because he knows that in him and in him alone is life, and life abundant, life eternal, saving life. So two things. A life fully submitted to Jesus. First knows that he's going to ask you to let go of some things sometimes. But secondly, he wants every bit of your life and wants it for all the right reasons. And will keep calling you and calling you and calling you. He wants it all. So I want to come back in our time in Egypt. Once again, I was so encouraged by watching this church and their faithful presence, the fully submittedness of this church in this neighborhood. Pastor Abdul Masiyo, everybody just calls him Pastor Sia because that's a lot easier to say, Abdul Masiyo. He was telling us about this progression of the impact that the clinics that we bring have had over time. And he said the first clinic that was there, there weren't really a lot of Muslims there. And some of you could testify to this. I cannot, but you all can. It was more Christians. Wasn't quite the influence that they were hoping to have yet. But faithful witness, fully submitted. As time has gone on, more and more Muslims in the neighborhood have trusted these clinics. And by way of default, the church. To the point now, this last trip, the church was filled with Muslims. Let that comment sink into your brain for just a second. The church was filled with Muslims. And I could tell you a million stories. Steve and Barbie, they were running a prayer room there, and just multiple times, they would have Muslim, especially women, in there, and they pray for them, and just tears coming down their face. Sometimes they weren't even translated, but the presence of the Spirit was so heavy in the room that it just happened. And it's beautiful. And I'll leave them; they have the better versions of those stories. But ask them about some of the people they prayed for and some of the things they prayed for. We can't evangelize there. We definitely can't say let me pray for you, but we can ask, may I pray for you? There were instances of having police come through, which is always a little bit of a ooh, because they come in with sidearm and body armor, and you just assume that they're just not there purely for the health care. And yet they'd go right through the clinic, and they'd come out smiling and blessed by it. And you just go, oh, praise be to God, for multiple reasons, right? There were these just beautiful, sweet moments. There was a little guy there. I'm going to tell you a story of Christine. I don't know where Christine went off to, but Christine was doing blood glucose, which, you know, you got to prick the thumb and use a glucometer to take the measure. And there was this little guy that came through. And when he sat down, somebody told him in Arabic, now this is going to sting. And he goes, and so he's got his thumb like this, and she's sitting across holding his thumb, and he starts doing this. He's getting as far away, and I'm thinking, this kid's going to bolt. He is out the door. He is not sticking around for this nonsense. Christine, I'm telling the story of the little guy who almost got away. And Christine held on to his hand, worked him through it, took his blood, and he he kind of got this moment like he conquered a serious fear in that moment. In fact, he started smiling. He was pretty excited. And then he told his sister, you should come do this next, as siblings would do with one another. But there's one story that I felt like it kind of wrapped the whole thing up. And it was through Dr. Maurice, who's our chiropractor that comes along these trips. They call him the bone doctor. And I think he has a cult following in Egypt. I'm pretty sure. We keep saying we're just going to put up a billboard for you next time. And he's like, no, don't do that. And he comes in, and there's a woman in full burqa that walks into his room. And I mean, fully. There's one slit right here, and they have glasses on it. And the translator's sitting there with him, and they have this little sidebar in English. And she essentially says, I just don't think there's any way that any of that's coming off. I don't know what you're supposed to do right now. And they're kind of mulling this over. And just as soon as they start doing it, they look over, and she's takes that piece off. And she takes this piece off. And she takes this piece off. And piece by piece, she waits for him to come over and work on her neck and her back and her shoulders. This is a woman who, in front of a Western man, removed her burqa because she was so, I don't know if I could use the word desperate, but for what we can tell, this is probably not a service she gets in her country, but eager to just have healing touch in her body. I say this to say, there was a time that did not happen. There is a time that it does happen. And there's a point now where the neighbors are asking Pastor Siha, you know, when are the doctors coming back? And I think the doctors would tell you, there's limited things they can do, right? I mean, you just don't have all your tools at your disposal. There's a lot of listening, a lot of encouraging, a lot of loving, and a little bit of medicine that can happen from time to time if the right thing's there. And yet, the presence has transformed the understanding of what that church's role is in that neighborhood. And it only comes through being fully submitted to what Jesus wants to do. It would be so much easier if that church just said, we're going to focus on the Christians. we're going to reach out to the Christians. We're going to try to help, you know, form community for the Christians. And believe me when I say it, it would be so much easier. But you wouldn't see nearly the beautiful fruit from it, would you? Because look at what Jesus wants to do in that neighborhood. We don't know what the full fruit of this is going to be, and it's so slow and so cautious. But we don't have to. That church's call is to be fully submitted to Jesus in that place. And then I get excited because I think, goodness gracious. Imagine all the things Jesus wants to do through me, through you. Think of all the things Jesus wants to do through St. Giles if we're willing to be fully submitted to the call that he has on us. That's the question I have for us this morning. Where is Jesus inviting you to be fully submitted? Part of our Lenten series is we're giving spiritual disciplines as follow-up, a weekly follow-up. And this week, we're coming back around to fasting. That practice of giving up things, getting in that posture of letting go of things so that we're ready to let go of whatever the Lord would call us to so that we could be in full submission. And that's my Lenten challenge to you this week. Find something to just put yourself in that posture of letting go. Whether it may be food, you may want to fast a meal or a day this week. It may be screens, it may be media, it may be whatever, time, a certain amount of time that you spend doing this, and instead you're going to just give that to prayer and devotion instead. What can you let go of this week? Where is Jesus asking you to let go this week so that you can become fully submitted to his call on your life? Because I get excited by that. I just think, what could God do? Look at the fruit of those who choose to be fully submitted to Jesus. I want that life. What about you? Amen. Amen. Well, let me pray for us this morning. Jesus, we give you the work that only you can do. And we mean that, only you can do. Lord, this is a room full of very capable people. A lot of gifts, a lot of talents. Lord, we give that to you as well. But Lord, I just want to say, we want to give you the things that only you can do. And we recognize that only comes by way of a life fully submitted to you. And so I just want to take a moment of silence and just say, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you show us those areas? Maybe it's just one thing that you're saying, I want you to let go of this because I want all of your life. I'm calling you, all of you, not just part of you, all of you, to follow me. So Spirit, would you just speak to us now? Jesus, we give it to you. We submit to you in all that we say and do. We want to be fully submitted. It's in your name we pray this. Amen.